Loving, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, praise you for the time of fellowship that you have granted to us. Lord, as a little flock we gather together in your name. Lord, speak to us, energize us, encourage us. Hide me behind your cross. Put your words in my mouth, that I may speak your words only. I humble myself in your presence, submit this simple prayer with faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are reading John chapter 3. And so far what you have seen is that in those days, Jesus Christ was doing miraculous things. And these miracles attracted so many people. And people are coming and flocking towards him. And at that time, Nicodemus, a ruler of Jews, a Pharisee, who also wanted, very much interested in the miracles of Jesus Christ, and he came to Jesus Christ at night. And we also have seen what is the meaning of Pharisee. And the Pharisees are the people who follow the commandments of God, and they try to ensure that these laws are followed by all the people. And Nicodemus is a ruler of Jews, and he came to Jesus by night, and he started asking, addressing Jesus Christ, Rabbi, thou art a teacher come from God. Like that he was talking to Jesus Christ. Immediately, no, stay back. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So he's not telling here, hey Nicodemus, you must born again. Unless a person is born again, he cannot see. Unless a person is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, he understood. It's not that he did not understand. He knows how to be born again. Just like a child, how mother delivers a child, the same way, yes, he understood. How can I enter into mother's womb once again? He was counter-questioning Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he did not say, it's not that way. He did not say that. Okay, you are coming to a point. But that should happen by the Spirit of God. See, one must be born by the water. He says, verse 5, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. So now he is telling, the flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. See, unless with your natural eyes, you cannot see the spiritual thing. See, if you want to see the spiritual things, you have to be transformed. You have to be born again by the Spirit to understand, to see, and to enter into the kingdom of God. See, flesh gives birth to flesh, and Spirit gives birth to Spirit. This is the process. See, you have to come from that flesh nature, get away from that flesh nature, be born into the by the flesh, by the Spirit, and see these things. That's what he is telling. See, seventh verse, you should not be surprised at my saying. See, this is the spiritual things. Now you are in a condition of natural condition. Do not be surprised. If you want to enter into that kingdom of God, if you want to see the kingdom of God, see, now he is stressing that point, don't be surprised at me saying, you must be born again. It is your time. Yeah, you are showing a desire to know the things of God. You wanted to enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, you don't be surprised. You are still in the flesh, but you have to be born again of the Spirit. Then only you can enter into the kingdom of God. See, he stresses the point of, you must be born again. See, I think in the John's Gospel only, you will be seeing musts. you must be born again. Those who worship the Lord must worship in spirit and in truth. See, these musts, Lord Jesus Christ very much stressed the fundamentals of Christian life. See, these are the beginnings. You must be born again. You must worship. You must come to Him. These are the things he puts it in an order. See, now He says, wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is the everyone born of the Spirit. See, Nicodemus, it is like this. The wind is blowing. You do not know where it is coming. You do not know where it is going. But you will be hearing the sound. You will be sensing it. You will be how this wind is blowing by moving of the trees, by the sound of the trees or the sound of the leaves, how the wind is blowing. You can very well visualize it. We can sense it. Same way, everyone that is born of the Spirit, everyone that born of the Spirit, the moment you are born of the Spirit, you will be groaning, Abba, Father. That you will be, your acts, your attitudes, your voice, your speech, your behavior, everything will be exposed and it will be seen. That's how everyone that's born of the Spirit. You will be, don't be surprised. I am telling you these things. See, then immediately, how can these be? How these things can happen? He was counter-questioning Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. He was very patiently, very, very patiently, he was explaining Nicodemus. See, he says, how these things can be? How I wanted to be? See, his desire is to be born again. And Jesus Christ, one by one, he is explaining. You are a Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? See, now, Jesus Christ, he was really holding Nicodemus and shaking him. You are the teacher of Israel. Do you not know these things? See, beloved of the Lord, he's not having the proper knowledge on that. He's exposing. Jesus Christ is exposing. You are a teacher and you are not teaching properly. One way. And you are a teacher. You are not going into through the scriptures. You are not going into the details of it. And how come you can lead other people? Then he made him kind of whoever listens to it, if he's in a right spirit, he will be crumbled. You are a teacher of Israel. Don't you know these things? See, at that time, the teachers of Israel, they were like, just like rituals. They were kind of doing kind of rituals. Let us read together Isaiah chapter 9:16. Isaiah chapter 9:16. Those who guide these people mislead them, and those who are guided are led astray. See, you are guiding, you are misleading people, and these people are gone astray. And you are a teacher of Israel. And Isaiah 29:10-12. The Lord has brought over you a deep sleep, and he has sealed your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. For you, this whole vision is nothing but words sealed in a scroll. And if you give the scroll to someone who can read and say to him, read this please, and he will answer, I can't, it is sealed. Or if you give the scroll to someone who cannot read and say, read this please, he will say, I don't know how to read. See, this is how the people, see, this is how the leaders of Israel, the teachers of Israel, they were some kind of a, they were overshadowed, their spiritual eyes are blinded. and they are leading the people into the blinding. And this is how, see, even Jeremiah, see, they have completely rejected the word of God. See, Jeremiah 8 verse and 9th verse. How can you say who are wise, for we have the law of the Lord, when actually the lying of the pens, lying of the scribes has handled it falsely? The wise will be put to shame. They will be dismayed and trapped, since they have rejected the word of the Lord. What kind of wisdom do they have? What kind of wisdom do they have? What is that you are thinking that you are a teacher? You have completely rejected the word of God, and you profess yourself the wise person who can lead people into the God's ways. No, you have completely rejected the word of God. That's what he is. You are the master of Israel. You are the teacher of Israel. No, it's not. See, Nicodemus, let us look. You know the complete scriptures. Let us look at Deuteronomy 10:16. Circumcise your hearts. Therefore, you do not be stiff-necked any longer. See, it is Nicodemus, it is the issue of heart. See, you are telling me that I am come from the God. Your lips say that I am from the God, but you are not recognizing as God. See, it is the heart issue. See, again, Deuteronomy 36 also, the same thing, same thing. See, King David prays for his son Solomon, Lord, give him a wholehearted devotion towards you. That heart should be completely filled with you. That means he should be devoting your word. Let us read 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 19. The David's prayer, he says, these are my prayer. 19, he says, give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, requirements and decrees, to do everything, to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. So the whole building, the structure, I have provided everything I have gathered all the materials. But Lord, have mercy on my son. See, this is all heart's issue. See, King David prays after he committed the sin with Bathsheba. Create in me a new spirit. Psalm 51, verse 6, verse 10. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. 10th verse. Create in me a pure heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. It is the question of Nicodemus. It is the question of heart. The new spirit. It is because you desire the truth in the inner parts, not on the external things, not on the lip service, not you are really looking into the heart. God looks onto the heart. That's what Jesus Christ was telling to Nicodemus. You are master of, teacher of Israel. Do you not know the Bible? You know the Pentateuch. You know the prophets. You know the Psalms. You know everything. That's what and also he is coming to the further detailing and 11th verse. I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. See, here only Jesus Christ was telling we. See, Nicodemus, you know John the Baptist, what he was doing. You know what we have seen. See, he was telling, we know things, we speak the things that we know. See, we are not telling you something which we cannot. We know things what we are speaking. See, John the Baptist. He is telling you, repent for the remission of sins be baptized. Without repentance, it is impossible to enter, to see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And people are being baptized. And people are seeing the new lives, the new generation. They are humbling. They are submitting to God. They are repenting of their sins. And we testify what we have seen. And these are the people that we are seeing. And you are calling me a rabbi. That means, see, you are in a danger, Nicodemus. I am telling you these things. See, as a Jew, you have to honor your teacher. Whatever he speaks, otherwise it will be a condemnation to you. See, he's telling you are not accepting at all. You are not accepting our testimony. You are calling me rabbi, whatever I say, you are not accepting. You are at fault. That kind of a situation he is bringing into. And he says, 12th verse, I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? Now Jesus Christ is emphasizing on the point of belief. See, I have spoken to you. I have told you in a simple way the fundamentals of salvation. The fundamentals of the salvation, repent of your sins and accept that you are at receive His forgiveness. Repent. Receive His forgiveness and go. These are the simple ways being born again, how to be born again in an earthly way. I have explained to you these things. And how can I can tell you the language of angels? The angels are looking to see how you are getting saved. And prophets, they prophesy. How can I say you all the other rest of the things? See, first of all, believe whatever I am saying. That's what he is emphasizing at the point. And 13th verse. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. He, Jesus Christ, is explaining. What are you thinking about myself? See, you are thinking Moses has brought the law for you. And he has ascended to the heaven and got the commandments of God to you. No one has ascended to heaven except the one who has come from the heaven. You said, I am from the God. You are a teacher from the God. See, it is the Son of Man. I am that. See, just as the 14th verse, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man be lifted up. See, here he is explaining again. You know the complete Pentateuch, prophets and everything. See, now you know Moses, right? See how the children of Israel, they were redeemed, they were chosen, and they were not listening to God. And suddenly God sent serpents in the midst of them, and serpents, and they were biting, and people are dying. At that time, Moses made a brazen serpent and he put it on a pole so they are in the midst of the camp, so that whoever sees the serpent, they were living. Hey, don't you know that? You know that, right? See, that's what he, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so Son of Man must be lifted up. See, here he is laying down the foundation with his own understanding of the scriptures. See, God, God will not teach us the things that we cannot understand. He tells us in a simple way, in a very simple way. Even the first grader, his words are understood by the first grader, even to the college graduate. See, this is so simple and yet very clear. He tells how Moses, see here, Jesus Christ kind of emphasizing, saying that, I have come down to die for your sins. See, they were dying because snake has bitten. They were poisoned. The sin entered. People are dying. See, now those dying people must live. They have to look up to that brazen serpent. They have to look up to the Jesus Christ. That's what he's making it very clear, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. See, it is that, like that, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Here he is clearly telling, it's not may have to be lifted up or will be lifted up. Jesus Christ must have to be lifted up, must have to die for your sins. Then those who are dead in sins and trespasses, they have to look to him. Then only you will be with the belief, with the promise of hope. If I look at that brazen serpent, how people looked at it. If I look at that serpent, I will believe it. With that faith only people looked at it. It's not that simply poking. They said, don't look at it, don't look at it. It's not that they did not look at it. They looked at it with a faith. The faith that they will be again, the dying person will again live. With that hope, with that promise, with that obedience of Moses' command, they became obedient to that word. That's what we need to understand. See, like that, see, whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So here, now, you understand that complete picture of it? See, they were chosen people. And God was bringing them. And their sinful acts, they were dying. So the same way, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And whosoever sees him, in order to have eternal life, we have to look to the person who is crucified for us. Now, he comes to the verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, now things are simple. God so loved the world that he is the beginning step of our salvation. See, his love towards you, that he gave his only begotten Son to die for your sins. Whoever believes on him, no, they will not perish, but have everlasting life. See, this is a double advantages. See, with Nicodemus, you will get a double, you will be on the double, you will be double advantages. Like, you will not be perishing like other guys, but you will be having a everlasting life. See, he's kind of explaining, my death, the seed of woman, will crush the head of that serpent. My death will do that. See, you know how Abel sacrificed, you know how things are happening, how the sacrifices in the temple, how things are happening, everything See, if you are following the law is a schoolmaster, brings everyone to Jesus Christ. If you are 100% following, but law also condemns you. Law makes you a sinner. But whoever believes in him, if you believe that I died for your sin, in your place, I took upon your place, I am dying for your sin. If you believe that, you will not be perishing, but you will have everlasting life. That's what he is establishing the gospel rules. It is about believing in Lord Jesus Christ. I told you earthly things. If you believe the earthly things, you will also be believing the heavenly things. These are the things. You know the scriptures, how Moses lifted up that serpent. Believe. You look at it and you believe. That's what he's explaining there. There are many, many, many things we can ponder upon it. God so loved the world. See, he loved the world. He created everything for ourselves. To live a life and godliness. Everything is provided for us. Even to follow him, to reject him. That's what in the coming verses he is telling. 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. See, to save the world through him. Jesus Christ is the only, the way, the truth, and the life. See, I am that person who came from that heaven. We are doing the lip service. You have to understand me. I am that person. I have come down from heaven. I was there in the heaven, and I am now here. That's what he's telling. Through him, through Jesus Christ, only the whole world should save. He has not come to, hey, you're a sinful man. Don't come to me. He is not condemning. Sin no more. You are a sinner. You repent of it. And I'm telling you, I'm sin no more. Come to me. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. He is leading us. This is the paving a way to eternal life and heavenly kingdom of God. And verse 18 he says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God, the only Son. See, he is telling here again, the condemnation. See, this is not because in your sinfulness you are condemned. See, it is true, we are sinful, we are condemned, we have gone away from his paths. But here the condemnation, because you rejected, that's how you are condemned. Because he has not believed in the name of God, Son of God. See, beloved, be careful. Our sins, we know we are sinful. The sin has come from our father Adam. We are all sinful people. We know that. Now the word of God is coming. It's very clear to whosoever believes in his name shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If this simple truth is rejected, there you are condemned. 19th verse. This is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but men loved the darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. See, this is the final statement. I am that light. The light has come into this world, but men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. The word became flesh. It dwelt among us. He came for his own. And his own received him not. See, he is coming to us and telling, I am dying for your sins. If you believe this much, you will not be perishing. You will be having everlasting life. Whatever you have lost in Adam, you will be regaining everything in Christ. You will have, once again you will have that fellowship. Once again you will have that union how God has intended to have you. So everyone who does evil hates light and will not come into the light, for the fear of his deeds will be exposed. Yes, we don't listen to Christ. We don't listen to, because he is light. If we come to him, our sins are exposed. Only thing is that when sins are exposed, Lord, sorry, forgive. If that's, instead of that, say, that is becoming hard for the people. Hard for the people because their deeds were evil. They wanted to reject Christ. They know the truth. Deliberately, they wanted to deny. That's what in Romans 1st chapter we read. They know all the form of God, how he created, how he created the entire world. By seeing the nature itself, people will understand it's God's creation. But they wanted to reject God intentionally because their deeds were evil. Their deeds will be exposed if they come. That's what Jesus Christ himself was telling. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. See, beloved of the Lord, we are born again. We humble to the word of God. It's not because of ourselves. It is the Spirit of God working in us. Because he loved us. You see, the God's love is available. His salvation is available. His power is available. The only thing is that we need to tap into. We need to turn to and look at it. See, on that day also, when they were hungry, God had provided manna. See, go fetch it and eat. It is our duty to go fetch it and eat. This is the word. We need to read like the manna, how they fetched it. Then our spiritual needs are met. And we will be, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. The truth, the word of God. If you are living by the truth, you will be coming to the light boldly, saying that, yes, Lord, up to this time I am following you. I am following your word. See, he is just and faithful to forgive us all our sins. That combination, God, is just and also faithful. He will forgive us. Once we are forgiven, once that idol is taken away from our heart, once we have that, once that stony heart is gone away, or the spirit of flesh, the heart of flesh is given to us, then we will be listening. We will be humbling. We will become wise. We will be the fear of the Lord will be beginning of the knowledge. That you will be coming to that kind of a knowledge. We will be knowing the ways of the Lord. Then we will be following that truth. And we will be living by it. And we will come to the light. Boldly. So that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Lord, it is all you. You are doing all these things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The kids were saying, God created for his glory. Simple. It's not a big rocket science. God created in his own image. He wanted to see us in his likeness. Pure as
As He is holy, He wanted us to be holy. That's why, that's how God gets the glory. He created everything. He created for Him. See, God so loved the world to only to manifest Jesus Christ, only to provide you the eternal life. Everything, start reading the Bible. Jesus Christ, it's all about Jesus Christ. If you think, you will be knowing His ways in a wonderful way. Then you will be knowing the truth. That truth will set us free. That truth will energize us, encourage us to walk in His ways and come to the light. If any spot is there, we will come to Him and will be get cleansed by Him. Lord, forgive me. These things happen. See, it's a daily process. You will be walking with Him. This is what Jesus Christ told to Nicodemus. The last verse, He said, how these things can happen? Hey, Nicodemus, this is how things happen. After that, He did not, he kept very quiet. He did not say anything. But later, in the same gospel, chapter 7, verse 50, we see He defending Jesus Christ. How He is defending? See, just let us read together. Then that time, finally the temple guards went back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who asked Him, why did not you bring Him in? No one ever spake the way this man does, the guards declared. See, understand, no man talked like how Jesus Christ talked. It's so amazing how He talks. He is the real word of God. Whenever He speaks, the words of peace coming out of His mouth. See, they said, no one ever spoke the way this man does. See, next verse, you mean He has deceived you also? The Pharisees retorted, has any of the ruler or of the Pharisees believed in Him? No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their member, asked, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing Him to find out what He is doing? Do you not know this much? Hey guys, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing Him to find out what He is doing? You are asking us to bring Jesus Christ and capture Him. First of all, listen what He is saying. Understand what He is saying. What our law says first. Our law says first, hear Him first. And then find, if anything wrong in Him, then capture Him. That's how He is defending all the Jews. See, that's how the transformation happened. And finally, if you meditate upon Nicodemus, see, when Jesus Christ was crucified and when He was before, when he was being buried, there was no one. All His disciples left away. Those who were healed by Him left Him. All people left Him. Only one person, chapter 19, John's Gospel, chapter 19. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly behind, because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, a man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh aloes, about 75 pounds. He brought. So when no one was there, Nicodemus, a transformed person, he knows who Jesus Christ is, the Son of Man. With all rituals according to the law, 75 pounds of all precious myrrh, aloes, he brought 75 pounds of things and applied on his body. for a burial. He prepared Jesus Christ for a burial. With that understanding, he lived. See the example, Jesus Christ, point by point, he explained the ways of salvation. See, this is what? Not the lip service. You have to, your heart thing. You know it. That's what we read it in all the, right from Genesis to Malachi. You know this complete Old Testament. Repent and receive His forgiveness. You will be accepted. You will not be perishing. You will be having everlasting life. That's how the transformation. That's how He has given the simple steps to enter into the kingdom of God. To see the kingdom of God and to have the abundant entrance. God has placed this to Nicodemus, not only for Nicodemus, but whoever comes to Him, whoever listens to Him. This is the message. Thank God.